Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to week number 9. For those watching on YouTube, it's week number 9. For those watching on Twitch, XSplit fucked up. I don't really know what happened. Wheat, we're talking about your fancy alcohol that's almost half gone.
Yeah, 29.3 ABV, actually. No, it's 14.7. It's, yeah. Other than that, I'm just spending the week in San Francisco. There's a lot of people out here. We're doing our holiday party this week, so the office is like as packed as it's ever been, but happy to be playing some Swan Song, and yeah, I don't have anything new since we crashed, so that's pretty much where I'm at.
Well, let me know if we get anything new, because it's probably going to, we'll probably crash again now that you've said that, and we'll see how it goes. Steven, what's going on, man?
I made myself some delicious lunches this past week with the juiciest chicken I've ever made. I'm trying to build some gains. I'm working on my gains in the beard area too. And I've been making chicken for lunches, and it's always so dry. But if you brine it first, then it's really juicy.
Brine it.
If you brine it first.
Can you tell us what that is for those top chefs here?
You take your chicken breasts and you put them in a pan. And then you get like 4 cups of water and 4 tablespoons of salt, and you dissolve the salt in the water. And then you pour the water over the chicken breasts until they're covered. And you let it sit for like half an hour or something like that. And it like...
At what heat?
No heat. It's just like... God, what do they call it? It's like that thing that you sometimes do with meats,
that thing
except
you see on
instead
Top
of
Chef
flavors.
Marinade?
Yeah, it's like a marinade, except instead of flavor, it's just salt. And it pulls all the moisture into the chicken. And then when you bake it, it doesn't get gross and dry. And that's good because like when I reheat it at work in a microwave, it's like super gross and dry unless I do this. And that's awesome. So
wow,
I was really excited about that.
I didn't know this is an educational program as well. I'm excited.
And now you know how to brine your chickens.
Yeah.
And that's all I've been up to, really. I'm excited to play some Swan Song.
How cold is it up there in Montreal?
It's not super cold. It's probably like 25, 20.
That's pretty fucking cold, man. I guess not by Montrellian standards.
When it gets down to zero, then we'll be talking.
This is the thing. Like, the best thing about winter in Canada is watching it happen to everyone else from Vancouver.
Nice.
It's true. Is it normal there where you're at in Vancouver, Adam?
It's a little rainy, but it's warm. I don't know what the temperature is in
America. Is Vancouver the California of Canada?
Yeah.
I didn't know
that.
There
you go.
Man, this is fucking informational as shit, this opening of the show. Adam, how you been, man?
I've been very well, thank you. I'm happy to return to space with all y'all. I have not been brining anything, so I feel like I don't really know how to follow that action up.
Could you give it a try?
What'd you cook for Thanksgiving? Did you cook anything?
Thanksgiving was like a month and a half ago, man.
Oh, fuck, you're Canadian. We just covered this.
I don't even remember. 6 weeks is a long time.
You guys don't use that as an excuse for like, hey, it's Thanksgiving again, and you like have second Thanksgiving?
No, we really don't. It's a shame.
They're Canadians.
What are you guys doing?
Canada.
You guys are fucking
up. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, there is a thing. If anybody does not yet have the Dungeon World PDF and wants to buy it and a shit ton of other awesome Dungeon World stuff, the current bundle of holding is up for 10 days as of now. I don't know. Sorry, YouTube. And yeah, it's awesome. You can pay what you want and get a shit ton of Dungeon World stuff. So if you don't have
nice.
It, go check that out.
Nice. What's the link for that?
It's just bundleofholding.com, I think.
There you go.
Yeah.
Bundleofholding.com. Cool. Last but not least, Jeff, a.k.a. Jeffrey Robinson. How are you doing, man?
Good. Happy to be doing Swan Song. Got back from Philadelphia this past weekend where I went and watched the Seahawks play against the Eagles. It was a lot of fun.
All Seattled out in the middle of a crowd of Philadelphians?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. They're really mean over there.
That's why I was asking, because I was curious.
Yeah, we didn't wear any Seahawks stuff, but we cheered at obvious Seahawk moments, and people were giving us glares, and we'd stand up, and they'd be like, sit the fuck down, and then we'd kind of look at them, and then they'd stare back at us, and I'd just kind of like laugh, and then they didn't do shit, because obviously, my brother's bigger than I am, and my dad's as big as I am, so it was like,
nice.
Nobody's gonna fucking, that's it, let's throw down, but... the Seahawks were destroying him. So as the game went on, it got closer to like someone's going to get drunk and do something, but it was fine. Philadelphia's a really cool city. We went and had cheesecake sandwiches. Yeah.
Philly cheesecakes. No, it's Philly cheesesteaks, rather.
Steak. Did I say cheesecake?
Yeah. Yeah, and then I started saying cake, on, and I was like, wait.
I gotta go get one of these cheesecake sandwiches.
Something sounded wrong.
Did you go to Geno's? Is that what you did?
Yeah. It's Geno's and Pat's. They're right across from each other.
Yeah.
I went to Geno's. I
didn't
get two.
Right after. One after. You know, you went to one, and then across the street, went to the other.
Double fist
sandwiches. Nope, but they're right next to each other. And you're supposed to get both, I guess. That's what a lot of the natives said.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep.
But it'll be a fun. This will be a fun session because I've been on the road for like 5 weeks in a row. So I literally just like I'll be talking and just a word will come out, just a rant like that, like cheesecake sandwich. I don't know. I haven't had cheesecake in months, but that's what came out.
You got to get some cheesecake tonight, man.
Have you had any funny salads lately?
No, but I'm giggling a fucking storm. I was looking at an internet picture earlier, so. I got a lot of my laughs in. But this next weekend, I'm going to the Seattle 49er game as well. And I'm heading home for Christmas break. So that's my life in a nutshell.
Wait, are we in playoffs already?
No.
I thought they already played regular season.
Yeah, it's still regular season.
Oh. What game? I thought we'd had a conversation about them playing the week of Thanksgiving, and then you were out of town, so we didn't go. Is that not the...
Yeah, I was out of town. They played.
Oh. I didn't realize you play each other twice, and I don't understand football, apparently.
When you play a team in your division, you play them twice, home and away.
Yeah. And so now they're playing Giants. In Seattle instead
yeah.
of... Okay.
San Francisco just lost to Oakland, which, again, I guess you guys don't watch football, but that's like... That is... I don't even know what a comparison to that is. Oakland won their first game in a year, like 3 weeks ago.
Hmm.
They're terrible, and they just beat the 49ers, who are like supposed to be the pride of California. So all of California is kind of quiet right now, except for the people that are protesting and rioting. They're super loud.
Yeah. I actually ran into some of those people last week. That was interesting. It was
that's
it was
a word
interesting
for
world. Yeah.
Oh yeah, we had one at the end of the Philadelphia game. It was in the paper. They're like, it's been announced there will be a die-in protest. And I was like, okay, whatever.
Is that where you
that
lay
is.
In the street? Is
yep.
that what that is? Yeah.
They laid in the street for 4.5 minutes to symbolize the amount of time that guy laid getting choked. But then they, of course, made it like half an hour.
Oh.
I mean, I'm all for like, you know, awareness and protesting and stuff like that. But I don't understand impeding everybody else's lives for that. That's
before we get too political.
Let's
bring it back. Because I don't even want to see the Reddit threads on that shit. Let's actually just talk about Swan Song. So, Adam... What's going on, man?
Should we get down to it?
Yeah,
we
sure.
Should.
We shall. All
right. Cool. Well, I'm gonna take you away from the action for a moment. Your characters obviously can't see this, but just to set kind of a meanwhile scene.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a planet, big kind of frozen green planet, sort of thin atmosphere, and we sort of pan up from there, and there's a ship in orbit. Looks like it's made of, like, it's not, like, polished or flashy. It looks like it's kind of made out of iron or something, like, very kind of grim and, like, lots of big angles and, like, bristling with guns and stuff. And paint.
And paint dark?
It's not dark. It's very bright. It's well-lit. It's a well-lit dark ship.
We were so close.
Rainbow ship.
No, but it's, yeah, it's, like, got lots of guns. It's, like, an obvious, like, warship of some kind. A big white, embellished cross painted on the side. And, you know, if this was like the beginning of a TV episode, we get the little like thing at the bottom. It says science vessel Nausea, orbit over Galaxy 10, and we fade in onto the ship. And there's you see a woman from behind. She's wearing like a blue and white dress. It's like a kind of a military cut dress, but it's like nice, like not a military uniform exactly. And she's got long blonde hair, shaved on one side, and you can see the like glittering pieces of her like cybernetics in her head, and she turns around so we can see her, and it's Odette Rainier, and she's approached by an obvious like underling, like a dude in like a gray kind of like captain's sort of uniform, and he approaches and then in French, so they're speaking French, but we get subtitles because I can't speak French, but he says to her, he's like, Madame, we have reports of the Swan Song having been captured on Ilohaba, and she pauses for a second and sort of looks at him and seems to be processing that, and she says, Agent Meyer then? And he says, yes, madame. And she says, what about l'enfant? And he nods, kind of like he's worried to admit that to her, whatever it is that she's getting confirmed. And she says, well, send a team. Hopefully it's not too late. And he nods and walks away. And we pan over her shoulder to back down to the planet as we fade out and fade back up on Piani in a wheelchair in this like empty room in the hospital where we left her and the rest of the crew. So Piani, this is only a little bit, maybe the next day from the last time that you had a doctor in here. You've been getting regular visits as long as you've been here by a Dr. Abramowitz. She introduced herself to you once, maybe a while ago when you first met, and has been administering medicine. Like, you've got an IV and stuff, and every time if you try to take it out, you wake up the next day with it back in, and they're very insistent that you need it. She just asks, like, questions of you. Unlike the rest of the party, and, I mean, you don't necessarily know this, but unlike the rest of the party, he's being, like, aggressively interrogated by this mysterious dude. You're being treated, like, pretty nicely. Like, if you throw temper tantrums and stuff, they'll sedate you, but for the most part, it's like they are actually, it seems like they're actually trying to treat you for something, and you're being questioned about all kinds of stuff, like where you're from and like your childhood and like, yeah. So how cooperative have you been with that, and has that changed over the like week
not
or so
a
you've
fucking
been here?
Stitch cooperative. Fuck these people.
Okay, all right. So I guess then Dr. Abramowitz, when she comes with like an orderly in case you're gonna be, you know, a problem this time, in case it's going to be a bad Piani day. She comes up to you, and she's got her little, like, tablet, and she makes some notes and, like, checks the level of fluid in your IV. You've been feeling, like, pretty weak, and you don't know whether it's the crash, which you can't really remember very well. Like, you remember bits and pieces, like I was describing before, of, like, kind of a jungle, maybe, or being moved. Kind of like, you remember them like fever dreams, almost. And you feel super weak, like, if you try to stand, you kind of fall. And you feel like you're injured, but an inventory of your body, you don't have, like, your legs aren't broken or anything, so you're just feeling really shitty and weak. So she takes some notes, looks at the IV, and kind of scowls at you and says, how are we doing this afternoon?
About the same.
She nods and kind of looks at the orderly, and the orderly kind of like is like not sure how to interpret that. She's actually the only person you've heard speaking English here. Everybody else speaks what maybe you've realized is Hebrew, but probably not. And she says, I'd like to do an exercise with you, Piani. I'd like you to talk to me about the ship again. And when she says the ship, she has this look on her face that you're becoming pretty familiar with, that you know means she's saying something that you've mentioned or that she thinks you believe, but she doesn't believe herself. She's skeptical that this ship she keeps referring to. She uses the same tone of voice whenever you talk about really anything to do with the Swan Song. She says, tell me about when you joined the crew of the ship, please. And she, like, brings up something, and you can see she's, like, ready to record whatever it is you say.
How about this? How about I'll answer a question for you, and then you fucking answer one for me?
She says, perhaps. Go ahead.
Okay, so I won't go into it, but, like, I give her, like, a pretty, I think, truthful rundown of, like, how I have nothing to hide as far as that's concerned. So I explain how I, you know, met the four crew members and how I got, you know, grandfathered into the debt of the Swan Song and how we're trying to pay off our ship and what we've been doing lately.
Okay. So where did you join the crew? And, like, Higgs, feel free to, like, help with details on this. But, yeah, like, what was that like?
Yeah,
just for the TV show, we'd flash back to,
right,
like,
I don't want
to,
like,
Piani.
I don't want to interrupt the lore of Swan Song because I feel like we have definitely, like, established how we met, but I believe that Higgins picked me up.
Yeah, I don't actually think we've ever, like, straight
right?
up. I don't think we've ever straight up been like, these were the circumstances for any given crew member.
Yeah, I think, yeah. I would agree to that. I don't think we ever sat down and figured it out. But I think I just picked you up because we needed a
Yeah,
we needed someone to work the comms. And I don't think I knew about your inherent abilities at first.
Right.
And I think I still don't know about them fully. I just
And if I recall, we like did a bunch of like side stuff together, which is why they have sort of that, you know, that relationship, that bickering relationship that before the crew was fully established.
Yeah, I would say that you were the first crew member that I found, so like you've seen some of the weirder, or not weirder, but maybe more devious shit that I've been into. Especially more than Mr. S, as he was probably the last member to accept, and I've kind of like cleaned up my act.
I know all the shady shit that Higgins is up to.
Yeah, yeah, we could say that. That works for me.
Okay, so how much of that do you recount to Dr. Abramowitz?
I mean, I don't talk about Higgins' shady past. I simply just say that, you know, him and I had done business in the past, and he needed a computers expert, and I was the one that got chosen for the role.
Okay. So I think that she tells you, like, she listens to the story, and kind of does that like psychologist thing where she's like, and like making notes, and you can tell that she's judging like everything you say and making notes about all of it, but you're not really sure what why she's doing that. And then she looks at you and says, "Well, as I promised, you have a question for me. Go ahead."
I haven't been feeling myself lately, and I feel like the shit you're pumping into my arm is having a fucking effect on me. What is this shit?
She says it's merely nutrients. After the incident with your meal the other day, we thought it best to simply feed you intravenously until you regain your strength, of course. I would be happy to show you. And she turns her like tablet around and like shows you a list of something in Hebrew, and then turns it around. And she says, you're perfectly safe here, Piani. In fact, all we want is to treat you and allow you to go on your way, but we need your help.
Well, what would happen if I didn't take this fucking shit?
She says, you came to us very badly injured. You have a condition, and she like taps her head. Without the medicine, you would deteriorate. It would be very bad for you.
You keep calling it a condition.
She nods, yes. We discovered it when we were operating on the injuries that you had when you arrived here.
Why do you think it's a condition?
She says there's something wrong with the material of your brain. It's a genetic disorder. To be perfectly honest, we are not entirely sure how it operates, but do not concern yourself with this. We believe you will have a full recovery.
I must concern myself.
She kind of looks at the orderly like she's like kind of like doesn't have anything more to say about it and is worried you're going to flip out again.
No, I like immediately I notice that body language and like Piani sort of like puts up, you know, just kind of puts up, you know, a hand, and she says, look, I've been living with this for fucking years. I've not had a problem at all. I don't understand. You can't fix this about me.
So she says, we believe it's affecting your memory. I'm going to show you something, Piani, and I would like you to try not to get upset when I do. Can you try to do that for me?
She whips out her
Piani just laughs. Yeah. Well, give it a shot.
She says, please watch this. And she turns her tablet around so you can see it. And you see what you immediately recognize as like a busy marketplace from your homeworld, from Majid. You've been there a bunch of times, especially as a kid. I mean, obviously not in a while, but it's like one of the bigger markets, and it seems to be it's like a drone camera that's just doing like a passive flyby, and you can see on the bottom. You speak or you read Chinese, right? Yeah,
it speaks Chinese, I believe. Yeah,
yeah, like Mandarin, probably. So, okay, so in Chinese at the bottom, you see the designation of, and you see this, you've seen this all the time in Majid. It's like the designation of like a police drone. So this is footage from a Majidi police drone. So, you're watching this like market, and it flies by like a stall, and you can see, you can't see who's in the stall, but you can see the front of it, and it's got a bunch of like like cooking trays out on it. Like it looks like a food stall or whatever. And the drone dips down and turns its camera towards the stall and freezes. And she shows you the, and she points at it, and you can see the face of the person who's at the stall. It's a fairly plain looking guy. Like you wouldn't have picked him out in a crowd otherwise, but you recognize him almost immediately, except that he's dressed super weird. He's wearing like a big heavy like cook's apron, and he's got like a cleaver in his hand, and he's holding like a fish in the other hand, and it's totally Mr. Sicarian. And she says to you,
"You're muted, mate."
What?
You were muted when you were just trying to talk.
No, I was more like, what?
Oh, okay.
what the hell? Like,
it was emotional muting, not technical.
Yeah,
muting.
It was like,
okay.
Gotcha.
So like anger isn't coming out. There's more like a emotion of confusion.
So she leans in slightly and says like kind of quietly. She says, "Do you recognize this man, Pian?"
It's the fucking cook.
She nods. That's, and she seems like that's the right answer. She's like, "Yes, yeah, exactly. Yes, it is." And do you know the cook's name?
The cook's name is Mr. Sicarian.
And then she gets kind of disappointed. And like she gets that look like you were so close. And then she's like, "But you've seen this man before?"
"Of course I have."
"And where have you seen him before?"
"I fought by his side before."
So she turns the tablet away and says something to the orderly in Hebrew. And he like he's got a case, like a valise or whatever, and he gives her like a syringe, and she starts like drawing fluid into it, and she's like, "We can try again later, Piani," and like comes over to the IV and like puts some stuff in it. And yeah, you start to like get kind of tired, and like you don't black out, but you sort of lose interest in this in her being there, and things get kind of warm and blurry, and all you can think about is like the smells of that market from when you were a kid, and like somehow you have this image of Sicarian both like on the swan song, like blowing people up with his gun, but the image of him in that stall, like with the apron on, just like you can't shake it. Like it just, there's something about it that feels really like solid and real to you. And then you kind of lose interest in that too, and kind of wander off into opiate dreamland.
At this point, am I like completely incoherent? Because you know, I would. Like, I feel like I am very suspicious of this fluid, so I want to try to crimp my IV.
Yeah, you can, I mean, you're getting the first kind of, like, wave of it, but yeah, you could try and do that stealthily.
Yeah.
Though your psychic, like, defense systems are not triggering, like, you don't feel like you're in danger.
No, that's fine.
But just as a thing, maybe you notice, right? Like your precognition isn't like, "Oh, bad things are going to happen to me." It's just kind of like, "This is okay." Like you're getting that feeling,
right?
But I mean, you're also heavily medicated, so who knows what it's doing to your brain? But yeah, you can do that. I guess some kind of like stealth roll to hide it, make like a.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would it actually have to be stealth? I have zero in stealth, so...
Yeah, just 2d6. Okay. I mean, plus if you have a dex bonus, plus that.
I think I actually do have a dex bonus, don't I? Or not? I know I have wisdom bonus, and I... 13, you need... No, 14. So no, it's just 2d6. Sorry about that.
Okay. So I'll roll for the orderly to see if he notices.
9.
Definitely doesn't. Okay, all right. So yeah, I mean, he watches to make sure you don't, like, try to strangle the doctor or anything, but yeah, you can just hold the line, like, kind of at your side. And
yeah, I mean, if it's in my arm, I kind of want to, like, crimp it under my arm to try to, I mean, right?
Yeah. So before she leaves, like, Abramowitz looks at you kind of like the way you would look at, like, a sick cat or something, and kind of is just like, kind of, like, pats you on the shoulder, and then the two of them leave the room. So in the meantime, so we'll pan over. So Mr. Sicarian, you are the last time that you talked to your new friend, the mysterious dude. He was trying to convince you to give him more information about the group and to like help him with Piani, because he explained the problem to you, right? That they need to get on board the Swan Song.
Mm-hmm.
So what have you been doing since you talked to that guy? What does cell life look like for Mr. Sicarian?
He's he'll probably sit in there very still, like a leg folded over the other leg, and then like deathly still. And then every couple of minutes, he'll kind of like fix his cufflink and like adjust his shirt, and then sit still.
Well, you've got, I mean, your clothes are away from you. You have like a jumpsuit. You don't have your own stuff. But you can adjust the jumpsuit in the same fashion.
Yep, it's like a nervous tick.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you want to have everything in order. So how have you been feeling about the threat that he delivered earlier about letting Titan know where you are?
Did he say that?
Yeah, he definitely mentioned it. He's like, one phone call, I can make it happen.
Mr. Sakarian's like, he's like extremely pragmatic. Like, it just made sense to him that they're at the mercy of these people for right now. So what he asked doesn't seem completely unreasonable, and he's not betraying anyone. So he's just waiting to have his time to talk with the crew, I guess.
Okay, cool. So you're just biding your time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think, yeah, at some point, I mean, you've lost track of what time it is, and I mean, you're on a foreign planet, so who knows how long a day is, but it's been a while since the last time you talked to anybody. But they've been bringing food regularly and whatever, but no one is responding if you try to talk to them. But your door opens, and there's another one of those like military dudes in the urban camo, and he's got a gun, but again, not like straight up pointed at you. You can tell like they're a disciplined military force. Like, he did, his trigger discipline's good, and he's not like pointing a gun at you and yelling or anything. But he gestures for you to come with him. Like, he nods and kind of points with the gun.
Yeah, I stand up, kind of dust my lap, and walk out.
Okay. So he takes you to a room that, again, like, everything in here seems like you're in the basement of a hospital, right? Like, you can see signs on the wall. They're written in Hebrew, so you don't understand them. But there's, like, obvious, like, the iconography is very hospital-like. You can see, like, elevator and, like, symbols for different hospital things. And he takes you to what looks like the like morgue. Like, there's a bunch of like closed rooms, and you can see, looking through the windows, you can see the like walls of like body kind of cabinets.
Every time they take me out, by the way, I'm super cataloging, like,
yeah,
everywhere I'm going and stuff.
Okay, cool. Yeah, you're developing a pretty decent map of this floor. You know where at least two elevators are from here, and the emergency stairwell, at least one of the ones you've seen.
Okay.
So he takes you to this room and pushes the door open and gestures for you to go inside.
I do.
Okay.
I thank him for opening the door.
Okay, he says something to you, like one word in a language you don't understand. Inside, there is a... This room smells terrible. Like, rotting body terrible. And also, probably, like, insane crew member terrible, because you see in the room... you see a single, like, table... with a cloth on it. The cloth is, like, stained in places. And also in the room, you see a very badly injured Victor Kovacs. What are you doing right now when Mr. Sakarian comes in, Steven? How does he find Victor?
How long has it been?
You've been in here for, like, at least a day. You haven't eaten.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't even notice the smell anymore, but you've been trapped in a room with a dissected corpse.
Yeah, so, do I recognize the guy who's escorting Sakarian in?
Well, you don't really see that guy, you just see his, like, arm as he pushes the door, and at first, like, the room you're in is dark, right? So the only light you have is through the port. So there's, like, a bright light around Sakarian's, like, form that maybe you don't even recognize right away. I don't know how good you are at silhouette detecting Mr. Sakarian, but, like, I know those muscly arms.
I just sort of laugh at him and I say, back so soon. I thought you were going to leave me in here a little longer.
I kind of take in the room. And I see this disheveled, beat up Dr. Kovacs in the corner.
Yeah, he looks like a man who's had the shit kicked out of him.
And I kind of like clear my throat a little bit and I go, Dr. Kovacs, it would appear you've been very busy.
Scary. Hey, what are you doing here?
I'm not entirely sure, but you know what? I'm going to actually hold off on asking what you've been doing in here as well. Are you well?
Yeah, they They didn't like the tone of voice I was using, so they roughed me up a little bit, tossed me in here.
As he talks, I come forward to kind of investigate his wounds and stuff like that. Just make sure.
I told them that dead bodies don't really bother me. It's Dr. Saeed. Looks like we're not going to get paid.
Yeah. He'll
be mad about that.
Right now, we just need to focus on getting everybody off this place. We'll focus on getting paid afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have the others? Are you alone?
Unfortunately, you're the first that I've seen. They want me to speak with everybody else. What?
Unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're the first one I've seen.
Well, I didn't mean it that way, but...
Victor doesn't even notice.
Yeah.
I was hoping to see the voluptuous bosom of Piani first, but...
They are very interested in Pi, and they say that they'll let us go. You're the first one I've seen. They haven't roughed me up at all. Have you been treated poorly?
I, like, spit onto the cloth, and there's just, like, a gout of blood.
I suppose that answers the question.
Yeah. I'm hurt pretty bad. It'd be nice to have a little medical equipment. I could patch myself real quick if I had a med kit, but, you know, they didn't leave one of those in here when they dropped me off. It's
strange. They left you with something to play with, but not something to heal yourself with.
Yeah. And I, like, pull back the cloth, and I'm like, yeah, like, look at all this stuff. And I start going into, like, how the cybernetics were, like, grafted onto Saeed's spine and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, it looks like the data ports here were really, like, you know, reconfigured between C3 and C4 to allow for a greater interface. You know, I'm sort of really focused. And then I just sort of stop. I say, I'm sorry. Are we going somewhere?
I have no idea. It's actually quite fine that you explain all that you know about that body. There's really nothing else to say.
Oh. Well.
They told me nothing. They led me here, and now I'm here.
Do you have any weapons?
I do not.
Hold on, I smuggled it!
Failed to find the plasma projector at my side this whole time.
Kovacs gets a look in his eye that you recognize, and he says, "Are you proficient with sharp bones?"
But my dear friend,
he's coming on to you, Mr. Sicari.
They're very armed. I don't think that our best course of action would be to do that. That being said, though, since we have nothing else to do, you might as well procure a sharpened device of some sort. Better to have options, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just, like, reach into Saeed's, you know, chest cavity and start trying to, like, wrench off a rib so that it breaks so there's a spike on it or something.
Is there somewhere to sit in here, Adam?
Just the floor.
There's a floor.
As he's,
it's,
like,
a real comfortable floor.
Elbow deep in the body once again, I just kind of have a pleasant smile on my face and I sit up against the wall.
Progress. All right, so I wish
I had my gloves.
This is perfect. So we pan down from Kovacs's kind of, like, manic bruised face down his arms into the, he's, like, arm deep in the torso, and then we get a crossfade to, like, a steaming, like, a turkey, like, it's all, like, open, and it's, like, all, like, sitting on a table, and we pan back and we see this, like, table with a bunch of food on it, and we see Higgs is, like, dressed normally, and, like, you got a big, like, glass of bourbon next to you and, like, a plate of food, and the air is, like, a little bit smoky. And we get enough of a pullback that we see you're sitting at a table in, like, a decently appointed room. Like, the room doesn't look like the basement of a hospital. Like, it looks nice. It's got art on the wall. There's, like, a big table. It looks like maybe a boardroom that's been repurposed. And you're sitting there with, across the table from the guy that's been interrogating this, like, agent dude.
Okay.
And he's not eating. He's just, like, smoking a cigarette. And all you know is that you were, like, taken from the cell you're in. They gave you, they, like, took you to a place where you could, like, shower and get dressed. They gave you your clothes back, and were like, oh, you must be starving. Let's take care of that. And then you were brought to this room, and they, like, just brought you, like, food. And so that happened just, like, a few minutes ago. So I guess the question is, like, are you eating the food? Like, how do we see Higgs? Is he like scowling suspiciously, or are you like, you're into it?
Is there anyone in the room?
It's just you and the guy sitting at the table.
Is he eating?
He's got a plate in front of him, and he's got some food that it looks like he was eating before you got here. But he hasn't eaten anything. He like lit a cigarette before you came in. He's just been smoking. It's like a hand rolled cigarette, and you notice he keeps like having to pick like tobacco off his lip and like flick it on the floor.
Okay. As I notice that, I just kind of like I hit him up for a cig. I'm just like, I haven't had a cig in weeks. Can I partake, good sir?
Yeah, he nods. He's like, of course. And
like instead of just immediately walking over, I kind of like eye him suspiciously, and then very quick just grab the cigarette. I just put it in my mouth.
Yeah, he lights it for you from like a silver like Zippo that he's got, and he looks at you kind of like he's kind of sizing you up.
Yeah, I'm just taking a long drag while he's doing this.
Yeah, and he says, "All this." He kind of like looks around, meaning the situation, not like the food and the current situation. But he's like, "Yeah, all this. I'd really like to put it to bed. Honestly, I've got better things to do than sit here on this backwater planet, but I gotta be honest with you, I have to get on that ship. So, here's the thing. Are there access codes to the ship that Piani has or has access to, or is there a way that you could have remotely locked the ship that you can help me bypass?"
This entire time, I'm still like just taking one long drag, and I finally like let it go, and I just slowly like let it go out in front of me. I'm just like, "Y'all got any TV on this shithole planet?"
He actually laughs at that, like it's a legitimate like, and he shakes his head. He's like, "No, best thing I can pull is a 2-3 hour stream on my terminal." He like holds his phone up from Taxila Station. Even that's not great. Everything's in Chinese anyway.
Well, I don't want to watch it, mister. You ever see any of those old-timey movies where they interrogate folk?
Kind of looks at you like, where's this going?
He goes, "I'm the guy that you make the deal with."
He kind of nods and smiles and gestures, and he's like, "That's what we're here to do, Mr. Higgins. We're here to make a deal."
I look at the food. I'm just like, may I partake?
He gestures. "It's all for you, Mr. Higgins.
Please." I like what you said. It's a turkey.
Yeah, there's like a turkey, and there's some like biscuits and like some various kind of like whatever like food.
Okay, I just like do my best to just like rip the turkey leg off and just eat it very barbarically. As I'm just like chomping away, I'm just like, "So you want me to get you inside the ship? Is that what you're asking?"
Yeah, he says, "The entity that currently occupies your vehicle has locked it down. And now normally I wouldn't have any problem popping that thing open like a tin can. I got can openers available to me, but see, cargo, by which I mean the entity that I'm speaking of, it's fragile, real fragile, and I have a mandate to take this thing in one piece. Trust me, it's only going to cause you harm in the long run. This is going to get worse for you before it gets better if you leave the planet with that thing on your ship. I know you owe money on the Swan Song. I just want to make a deal with you. You get me on the ship, I'll have my team extract that thing. We'll take it away, never have to see it again, and we'll pay you handsomely for all this trouble."
That sounds like a all right offer, I guess you could say. How about this, though? I'm sure you know all about me. He's brought up some stuff in the past. I'm sure you don't know some of the secrets I got. I owe a lot of people some money. I even owe Piani some money. I'm not ever going to say that publicly, and if you mention it to her, I'll bite your fucking neck out. But I need some of that paid off. I actually, you know, I need all that paid off, and I just like keep eating.
He kind of like looks down, and you notice he's like sort of forgotten the end of the cigarette, like it's starting to burn down near his fingers. And he kind of looks down and looks at you and takes a breath and says, "Well, so you won't have to worry too much about Miss Pick, because, well, when we were taking care of her, after the crash and everything, doctors here noticed," and he kind of like taps his head, "something wrong up there. We figure she's got 3 weeks at most to live. Better medical facility, maybe we could have done something, but, well, that's a debt that's going to run out real quick. As for the rest of the money you owe.
Would I know that's a bullshit comment, or would I believe him?
When was the last time, A, you saw Piana go to a doctor? How does Higgs feel about psychics, right? Like, because people...
I mean, I've worked with them before, but I don't really... I don't know them.
Okay, I guess this is a question. Like, have you ever seen... You worked with lots of different people. Have you ever seen a psychic, like, lose it?
Like, no. Have you seen know, like, if it changes their life or anything. So I guess I would probably believe him, right?
Maybe. That's up to you. I don't know. Maybe you want to make a check to see if he's...
Yeah, I'd rather it go on a check rather than me kind of guessing. What do I make for that? Or what do I roll
no
for?
Like, yeah, there's no, like, empathy. So I guess it's probably just, like, a straight up, like... notice kind of a thing. Just roll 2d6. 2d6 and add your wisdom. If you have perception, yeah, you can.
Lower, what are the parameters here? Lower means I believe them, higher means I don't?
I mean, it's up to you to interpret it. Basically, like, if you get a lower than 7, then you won't notice anything. They're kind of mid-range, I'll let you know a little bit about his state, but the idea is that it's up to you to decide whether you believe him or not, but I'll give you clues based on his behavior and the way he's talking and stuff.
Gotcha. 7.
Okay. You notice when he takes that long pause, and maybe it's because he's afraid of hurting your feelings or, like, upsetting you because your friend's dead or going to be dead. But maybe he's lying to you. It's hard to say. He's pretty sweaty. He's got, like, beads of sweat on his forehead, but he's also not really, like, he's kind of overdressed. The room's sort of hot anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you get the impression he's not telling you everything, but whether or not this is a lie is kind of up to you to decide.
Sure. I kind of sit there and I take another, like, huge bite, very barbarically from the turkey leg, and I'm just like, you know what? You know my history. I'm in it for the money, and if we can come to a deal where you pay off my debts with Piani, pay off my debts with Calliobea, you pay off the swan song, I'll get you inside there. I actually... I can do it myself. I know the codes.
He
nods, take another bite.
And he seems... You get the impression that he thought it'd be a bigger deal. Like, he'd have to fight for it more. But, yeah, money doesn't seem to be an issue. Where he kind of nods and he's like, did you have a particular figure in mind for your services there?
Do I know how much I owe Calliobea?
Well, I mean, you don't owe her anything, right? Like, she's after you because of what happened to Randy. Like, as soon as Randy ate,
but I thought I knew it. I thought I knew what it was because Randy owed a certain amount to her, and that's why she's coming after me. Is that not true?
I don't know that an amount was ever discussed. If it was, we can always, like, look back.
Okay, I'll just make something up. And then, how much is left on the swan song? Do I have a general idea?
950
million credits.
Yeah, almost a million credits.
2 million credits. That's what I meant to say.
Okay.
Yeah, 953,529 remaining on the balance, and you're, like, 2 months overdue on paying it.
And he says what? He just flat out says what?
I don't think so.
Yeah, wasn't it, like, 740?
I have 775 remaining on the Stars Without Number swan song sheet.
Oh, counting, it's hard.
When was the last time you made a payment?
Well, I mean, does it go up when you miss payments?
I don't know. I'm actually asking in case my payment tracker is
like, let me see when maybe we made a payment. This Swan Song accounting spreadsheet it's not seen a lot of love. Nope. I think it was March.
I've got you paid up till April.
Okay.
And we're June?
Oh, I'm including I'm including maintenance in that
okay,
amount.
Then that must be what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and that's all the maintenance built in together. A million credits would cover it and all the maintenance for the rest of the year. But whatever, yeah, I mean, you want to just give him a number, right? You don't want to just pick.
And he asked me what number?
He just said, "Yeah, do you have a figure in mind?"
Yeah, I kind of just stopped chewing food in my mouth, everything. Like, I haven't completed it. I just spit out the food and I, like, put the turkey leg down. I just look at him right in his face. I'm just like, it'll be about 5 mil.
He doesn't like blanch or flush or, like, start or anything. There's no double take. He doesn't spit the water out. Like, he just kind of, like, just straight, like, looks right at you and kind of nods, and he's like, I'll have to have it approved, but
You'll have to also let me see the account and all that stuff so I know it goes through. I know how this works. I want a private bank account on Asa. Need to make sure it gets there. It's the best play ink in the world, so I need to make sure that all is well before I give you those codes. And I need to see my teams alive, and I need 5 minutes of conversation with them. And you can listen in on the conversation if you want. It doesn't matter to me.
He says, well, if you'd like, I can take you to Mr. Sicarian and to the doctor right now.
Pianis, I don't much care for Mr. S right now, at least.
He says, Piani is still in very dangerous condition, but I will take you to speak to her as soon as she's well enough to do that.
I look back at the food and I'm like, am I okay to eat all this?
He just gestures at the bounty before you. He's like, have your fill. In fact, if you'd like me to go and get your crew members and bring them here, they could join you.
You know, that'd be nice. Have them walk. Okay, give me 5 minutes. I'm going to get the room set up. And I look forward to dealing with you in the future. Also, keep that from them, if you don't mind.
He nods, of course. This deal is between you and I, Mr. Higgins.
Sounds good.
Okay, so he gets up, and he leaves the room. You still have, like, a servant or something. There's, like, a person in the room with you to, like, help you if there's anything you need. But, he leaves. So what are you going to do while that's happening?
While they leave, I turn to the servant. Do I know the servant's name?
No, you haven't heard him speak. You don't recognize the guy.
I look at the servant, and I just pick up a cup, and I just, like, start dropping water on the table. I'm just like, oops, I seem to have spilled that.
He kind of scowls at you like, what do you want me to do about it?
I just lean back, put my hands behind my head. I'm just like, can you please clean this mess up?
He looks up at a security camera that's in the ceiling that kind of pans over to, like, look back at him. And he looks at the camera like, seriously, this asshole? Like, what are you doing to me? And then he puts his, like, hand up to his ear. Like, you notice he's got, like, an earpiece. And he sighs dramatically and, like, walks over and, like, picks up, like, a napkin and starts, like, patting the wall, like, staring at you.
Is he wearing clothes that are better than mine?
Not really. Actually, you notice his clothes don't look like they were, like, made for him. Like, they're a little bit too big.
Oh, okay. But they're not any more regal or anything than mine?
No, definitely not. No, he's just wearing, like, kind of a plain sort of outfit. But it's all futuristic, so it's got, like, a weird high collar and stuff, because sci-fi.
Okay. As he's cleaning up and staring at me, I'm just like, you got a name, servant, or should I just call you servant?
He looks at you and says something in the language that the people that work in this hospital seem to speak and kind of scowls and then looks back at what he's doing and finishes and cleaning up the mess you just intentionally made.
Coming off very racist, he's just like, speak it English?
Yeah, no, he doesn't respond. You notice he gets a little red and seems annoyed, but doesn't respond to you.
Okay. I point to the turkey, and I'm just like, and I put, like, two up. I'm just like, can I get two of those? Two more? The big thing. Gobble, gobble.
All right. He says something into his, like, communicator, into his, like, headset, and nods and gestures and sort of steps back to allow your room to consume the food before you.
Yeah. Instead, are there windows and everything in this? In this room?
No, there's the same windows that were in your hospital room. There's, like, panels that now, looking at them, are obvious, but, like, yeah, LED panels with, okay, like, looping displays of, like, a cityscape outside. It appears to be, like, a city, and then you can see the jungle beyond.
Sure. I guess just as, like, he walks out, Higg stands up and grabs his cig and just stands next to the window and sits there and smoke and, like, looks like he's, like, reminiscing or thinking about the past while he stares outside, even though he knows it's an LCD.
Awesome. Yeah, you see the same bird just kind of fly by.
Yeah. I'm just sitting there smoking, looking at the window.
So the two morgue prisoners, Sicarian and Kovacs, the two of you are there together for about an hour. And Kovacs, your arms and part of your torso are just covered in gross old blood when the door opens.
I'm just smiling the whole time.
The door opens and you see Yeah, you see that guy that you've interacted with a couple of times before.
Good evening. You'll notice my peer here is elbow deep in the body. You can join him if you like.
I just like extract my arms. Ah, I couldn't find it.
He doesn't even comment. He just kind of like looks like he's thinking of what the appropriate thing to say here. And Mr. Higgins requests your presence, and he gestures to the hall. If you'll come with me.
Oh, requests.
He nods.
May I have my plasma projector?
He shakes his head. No, you won't be needing it now.
Very good. I stand up, brush myself off, and I go over to Mr. Higgins, or Mr. Kovacs, and I say, shall we then?
Let's. And I just like stand up nice and straight and then like limp out the door.
I help him walk.
Okay. Alright. So we cut back to Higgs in the room, pretending to look out the window, and Higgs, the door opens, Sakarian and Kovacs are there, and they're not nearly as well accoutred as you are. You guys see Higgs standing by the window. He looks great, like smoking with a bourbon in his hand. There's like the smell of food hits you as soon as the door is open.
Yeah.
Then he's in this like nice like a boardroom and looks like he's doing just fine and did not get stomped on repeatedly by guards.
Yeah, when you walk in,
I see him and the food. I turn to the guard and say, "Is there anywhere Mr. Kovacs could wash his arms off?"
Yeah, like that's the other. I make the comment as well. I'm just like, good God, Kovacs, what the fuck have you been doing?
I say that won't be necessary, and I walk up to Higgs, and I just put a hand on his shoulder, and I say, I'm glad to see you. And then I just hug him.
Yeah, I just kind of like let it happen. I just kind of stick my arms out. I was like,
I give like a polite chuckle and walk over to the table and start making myself a plate. I didn't even ask if it's for me or anything.
Oh yeah, I got two more turkeys coming. Yep, they've been treating me nice and fine here. I quite like this place. Look outside. Look at it's always pretty. Look at the moon. It's pretty.
Look at that bird.
There's a bird. The same bird passes by every 5 or 6 seconds. Look, you can watch it. Just wait, and I just stare intently at the monitor as I wait.
Have we heard from Miss Piani?
He goes, well, not from her directly. I've heard about her. Apparently, she's got like 3 weeks to die or something. I don't know. Maybe they're her. I don't know. She might. Who knows? You know, Piani.
I just chime in. I say, it's been a while since she's had her medication.
Yeah, she does take those funny pills for funny people. That's true.
Do they know of her need for the medication?
Maybe. These people seem pretty intelligent. I've had cordial conversation.
Yeah.
Might bring it to
definitely
their attention.
Very intelligent.
Might bring it to their attention. We've got two more turkeys on the way, though. I can put in a request with my servant when he gets here.
That would be nice.
Great. Would you like anything to drink? They can probably... I mean, I've got this bourbon. I just kind of swirled it around.
It's a fancy enough like meal that they've taken the bourbon out of the bottle that they bought it in and put it into like a different glass bottle.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's some like empty some empty glasses on the table. So yeah, you can drink and eat and whatever if you want. The servant, if you like address him directly and like ask for a towel, he'll give you one to wipe your hands off at least.
Wow.
I just wipe it on the tablecloth.
Mm,
yeah,
corpse blood.
That, yeah,
I'm a little disgusted as you do
I make myself like a small plate and I start tucking in.
Okay, all right. So you guys start to eat and maybe we go to commercial there. And
cool.
We'll pick up after.
Sounds good. We'll take our break. We'll come back and cool. 3 more hours still to go. So we'll see you guys for more Swan Song right after this. Be right back.